From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The online news outlet BuzzFeed on Thursday published a damning expose on President Donald Trump, saying that he instructed his former attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen, to lie to Congress about his plans for a Trump Tower in Moscow, and that Trump also supported a plan set up by Cohen to visit Russia during the presidential campaign in order to personally meet President Vladimir Putin and jumpstart the tower negotiations. All of this was happening apparently while Trump was telling the public that he had no business deals in Russia. After Cohen was in the crosshairs of the special counsel's investigation, BuzzFeed reports that, quote, the president personally instructed him to lie by claiming that negotiations ended months earlier than they actually did in order to obscure Trump's involvement. The Washington Post said BuzzFeed's Michael Cohen story, if true, looks to be the most damning to date for Trump. CNN asserted that, quote, this may be the smoking gun in the Russia investigation. The BuzzFeed report came on the same day that the Wall Street Journal reported that Cohen hired a technology firm during the Trump presidential campaign to try to rig online polls in favor of Trump. Cohen confirmed the report on Twitter. We turn to Paul Seamus Ryan. He's the Vice President of Policy and Litigation at Common Cause. Welcome to the program, Paul.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it seems as though every new bombshell that drops feels to us like this is the one that's going to, you know, be the straw that breaks the congressional camel's back, if you will, and push them over the edge into impeaching this president. How significant is first the BuzzFeed article?
Well, before commenting on the BuzzFeed article, I want to mention that it is not a huge surprise that Congress, under Republican control for the first 2 years of the Trump presidency, didn't do anything, did not exercise its obligation of oversight. But it's a new day here in Washington, D.C., with a new democratically controlled Congress, so we might see some action. The BuzzFeed piece that was published on Thursday, really, if true, and I want to underscore that because it's anonymously sourced, but if the allegations in that report are true, it exposes President Donald Trump himself to multiple federal crimes. There are a couple of federal criminal statutes that prohibit causing someone else to break the law, as well as what is known as suborning perjury or inducing someone else to commit perjury. And there's also obstruction of justice on the table as possible criminal violations by President Trump, in addition to criminal violations you already mentioned in the intro, the possibility of impeachment and obstruction of justice, of course, as well as lying to Congress, causing others to lie to Congress. Those are all impeachable offenses. So this is a pretty big deal.
Now, the president's defense when it comes to anything Cohen has claimed has often been to say, well, he was the lawyer. He was the one who knew whether there were crimes or laws being broken or not. I'm the client. I just told him what I wanted him to do. He should have advised me on the legalities of my requests. I'm just sort of paraphrasing, but this has sort of been the gist of how the president has claimed a defense against anything Cohen says he did.
It's a pretty weak defense. And, you know, I think that defense for some individuals might carry a little more weight when it comes, for example, to the campaign finance crimes that Michael Cohen committed, pleaded guilty to, and has implicated President Trump in the commission of.
That's the paying off of the women that Trump reportedly had affairs with.
Yeah, so both Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal.
Right.
And when we get to it, I'd love to discuss the Wall Street Journal piece that you mentioned in the intro, because that also involves another possible violation of campaign finance laws. So for some defendants, for some individuals, they might be able to credibly argue, I don't understand those laws. That was my lawyer's job to explain them. Donald Trump doesn't really have that excuse for a couple of reasons, but perhaps first and foremost that he and Michael Cohen were the subject of a Federal Election Commission investigation back in the 2012 presidential cycle for very similar alleged violations, illegal in-kind contributions when Trump was exploring a possible 2012 candidacy. So Donald Trump has some familiarity with these laws. He was subjected to them. He hired a lawyer to defend him against allegations of wrongdoing years ago. When it comes to lying to Congress, no one with a straight face, I think, can credibly claim that they didn't know it was illegal to lie under oath to Congress. So, you know, the argument that, oh, my lawyer should have told me that I shouldn't be telling my lawyer to lie to Congress, that's an absurd defense argument, in my opinion.
Now, the sources in question in the BuzzFeed article are two federal law enforcement officials involved in an investigation of the matter. So even though they are anonymous, this identification of them as federal law enforcement officials is pretty damning. I mean, BuzzFeed would be breaking every journalistic ethical rule if indeed they misstated who their sources really were, or the titles of their sources. So that goes pretty far up. Additionally, it shows that Trump just lied in his assertions to the public. He kept saying he had no business dealings in Russia at the same time that Cohen was giving him and his children, who are also in the government, at least Ivanka, updates on a real estate development in Russia. So is that also something that should inform Congress, especially the House, when they restart impeachment proceedings?
Yeah, it should definitely inform Congress. And I think it's also worth mentioning that although Michael Cohen's credibility is a bit shaky, the sources that spoke to BuzzFeed indicated that Mueller's investigative team, they are not solely relying on Cohen saying that Trump told him to do this, but the Mueller investigation team also apparently has other independent evidence. They have documents, emails from the Trump Organization, other witnesses that all support Cohen's alleged claim to the Mueller team that Trump told him to lie to Congress. So there are Cohen's statements to Mueller. There's also independent evidence in the possession of Mueller that supports Cohen's statements.
Let's talk about the Wall Street Journal report coming out on the same day as the BuzzFeed article, also involving Cohen and Trump. This particular piece asserted that, and this is not an anonymous source, I understand that this was a man named John Geiger, or Gouger rather, who worked for a company, a technology firm, and who told the Wall Street Journal that he had a $50,000 job to rig online polls in favor of Trump, and that Michael Cohen paid him cash. He didn't get fully paid, but this was the reason for this. And Cohen confirmed this on Twitter. You mentioned that there were several crimes that were possibly committed here as well.
Yeah, so I want to say first and foremost that this $50,000 reimbursement to Michael Cohen, it's been an issue of interest to me going back to August, because when Michael Cohen pleaded guilty to two campaign finance crimes and six other financial related crimes back in August, the charging documents from the Department of Justice mentioned this $50,000 reimbursement to Michael Cohen from the Trump Organization, but he wasn't charged with anything related to that $50,000 payment. So I've been wondering for months what this $50,000 in so-called tech services reimbursement to Cohen was all about, and wondering why he wasn't charged for any violations related to it. And the Wall Street Journal piece Thursday gives us more information. It paints a clearer picture of what was going on there. Now, there were three different types of tech services that were allegedly provided to Michael Cohen by this individual, two of which, in my view, don't fall within federal campaign finance law. They weren't very close, they weren't really at all, or if at all, not very closely tied to the election itself. So in one of those tech services was setting up a Twitter account for Michael Cohen, and the name of the Twitter handle was Women for Cohen. And the whole purpose of this was to fluff Michael Cohen's reputation publicly as a sex symbol, and it, just bizarre, just kind of something really odd, slimy sort of behavior.
Wow.
That Michael would be paying. So that one's just weird, and I don't think it has any nexus to the presidential election. It's just connected to Cohen's own ego. The second matter was rigging a poll that was taken in January of 2014. So this is more than a year before Donald Trump even became a candidate for the presidency. And it was about U.S. business leaders. And I don't think there is a close enough nexus of that sort of poll, rigging that type of poll to the election, for it to fall within the campaign finance laws. But the third one was the rigging of another poll. And this was a poll that was taken in February of 2015. And that was about the election. And even though Donald Trump had not yet declared his candidacy, he was clearly in campaign finance law speak, he was testing the waters of a campaign at that point. So the contribution limits apply. So I think it's that the second of two polls that was rigged, the third of the three items that Cohen was paying for here or was supposed to have paid for that falls within the scope of campaign finance laws. But things get pretty tricky from there when trying to figure out, okay, what was the actual amount of the violation? Because Cohen only paid this guy a little under $13,000, apparently a Walmart bag stuffed with cash, and he threw in a boxing glove from a professional fighter as, I guess, something of value. So just another bizarre angle on all of this. Instead of paying the guy $50,000, as originally agreed upon, he paid him under $13,000. So,
but he got reimbursed by the Trump campaign for $50,000. So he pocketed the difference?
Yes, he pocketed the difference. So that was a pretty slimy move. Not surprising, but pretty slimy. But when trying to analyze what was the amount of a campaign finance law violation, it would be the amount that Cohen paid someone to do tech services to influence the election without reporting this as a contribution to the Trump campaign, without the Trump campaign disclosing it. So it would be some fraction of the 13 grand, a third maybe, spitballing it. So we're talking in dollar amounts, pretty small. And all of this is a pretty complicated story. I've been rambling on for 5 minutes or so explaining this, these tech services and why they might violate campaign finance law. And all of this, really, the bottom line adds up for me to making it pretty clear that the Department of Justice probably just didn't want to muddy the waters of the Cohen prosecution. They had two really clear, easy to explain, much larger violations, the hush payments to Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. We're talking in grand total in the neighborhood of $300,000 in violations, easy to explain. And then you have this other really weird, only partially compensated tech services, some connected to the election, some not. I think that's why they didn't charge Cohen for this, for the tech services that were at the center of the news story in the Wall Street Journal.
So bizarre. You couldn't make up these details. I want to just try to take a big picture view now of what the BuzzFeed article was attempting to zero in on, which is the fact that it sounds like, and so many indications point to Donald Trump wanting to use a presidential bid to essentially get a business foothold or bigger business foothold in Russia, curry favor with Putin in order to, you know, expand his business. Because ultimately, that's what he is. That's what he's always been interested in. And then, you know, unexpectedly winning the presidency. So we now know that in the last 2 years where he has actually met with Putin in person on several occasions, he has attempted to keep the contents of their conversations secret in a highly unusual diplomatic move. So can all of this that has been revealed be the smoking gun that some people are saying, you know, Mueller was needed in order to really justify some kind of indictment against the president? I mean, collusion is that word that keeps popping up.
Certainly could be. And there is a vigorous debate among constitutional law scholars and criminal lawyers about whether a sitting president can even be indicted, can be prosecuted while in office. So setting aside that complicated legal question or issue, it is certainly the case that if Donald Trump were not to be reelected in 2020, there could be criminal charges waiting for him in January of 2021. The statute of limitations on these crimes will not run out. Some of them have five-year statutes of limitations that won't run out until 2021, you know, into 2021. So this is true of the campaign finance crimes, the payments to Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal, which Michael Cohen says he did at the direction of Donald Trump. That means Donald Trump broke the law, if that's true. Those indictments could be waiting for Trump in 2021 if he were to leave office then. So even setting aside prosecution while in office, all of these crimes, all of these indictments, prosecutions could be waiting for Trump in 2021 if he's not reelected. And then, of course, you have the possibility of impeachment, and that would begin in the U.S. House of Representatives, probably with what is called an impeachment inquiry or inquiry of impeachment resolution. That would start an investigation and then lead to articles of impeachment. And if the House passed those, it would go on to a trial in the Senate. So there are a few different ways this could go. A lot of legal jeopardy, a lot of exposure to criminal prosecution and or impeachment for Donald Trump. I mean, if we have the time, I would love to mention one other angle on the BuzzFeed piece. Sure. And the core of it. So it's a big deal if all of that reporting is true. It's a really big deal that the president of the United States told his lawyer, had his lawyer lie to Congress under oath. And that's, again, potentially obstruction of justice and violates some other criminal statutes, suborning perjury or causing others to violate criminal statutes. All of that's a big deal. What isn't getting much discussion is something that a guy named Ryan Goodman, a national security expert, pointed out on his blog, Just Security, in a piece today, which is that because Russia was involved in all of this, this is really a national security issue as well. This isn't just about the president lying or the president having someone else lie under oath. The fact that the president, or if in fact the president, had Michael Cohen lie under oath, the president and any one of his team members who were involved in orchestrating these lies to Congress exposed themselves to blackmail by Russia. That's what makes this a national security crisis. That's what makes this a much bigger deal and a worse matter than was the Watergate scandal that had some similar obstruction of justice issues at play. This is a national security issue because the president and others in his inner circle who were involved in these lies by Cohen to Congress, they would be exposed to blackmail by Russia for having made these lies, or orchestrated these lies.
I just keep imagining that were the tables turned, was this a Democratic president at the heart of all of this? How would the Republicans be reacting? I mean, we are, our standards for what we would tolerate from a president have just fallen so low that they're practically non-existent, but perhaps something will change. Does Trump's current lawyer, Rudy Giuliani's spewing of contradictory nonsense on television play into any legal issues here? Recently, Giuliani was essentially admitting on a CNN interview, I believe, where when asked about collusion not being a crime, he used to say that there's collusion isn't a crime. Now he said, I never said there was no collusion with Russia, implying that there was collusion. Do Giuliani's words implicate the president legally?
Well, one of the things I've been saying about Giuliani for a few months now is with defense lawyers like Giuliani, who needs prosecutors?
Right?
Because he's been sticking his foot in his mouth for months now. You know, I've been really closely following the campaign finance crimes that occurred in 2016 by Team Trump because I filed complaints with the DOJ. Common Cause filed complaints with the DOJ in January, February, and March about these hush payments. And, you know, Giuliani was the one who revealed to the world that Donald Trump reimbursed Michael Cohen. That's what put Donald Trump on the hook for criminal violations in that matter. And again, as you've mentioned, he's done it again now that, you know, with his commentary about initially denying there was any collusion and now saying, I never said there was no collusion, admitting that there may have been collusion, but Donald Trump wasn't personally involved. That's a disaster for Team Trump. I can't believe they're still allowing him to get on camera and speak on Team Trump's behalf.
So I want to pick up on this issue of the national security aspect, but another issue that has just come up related to the government shutdown. On Thursday that it was announced that President Trump had canceled a trip, a congressional delegation headed by Nancy Pelosi to Egypt and Afghanistan and Brussels. She was to take with this congressional delegation a military transport, and it was a secret trip because of security concerns. The president revealed it and then said, well, she could take commercial transport instead, which then revealed that the other option to a military transport was also exposed. And Nancy Pelosi's spokesperson has basically said that this is an issue of national security, that Trump made this trip impossible because he reduced the security. You know, the State Department informs Pelosi that it was too dangerous now to travel because the president had revealed their plans to the public. Another national security problem?
Definitely another national security problem, or at least a security problem for members of Congress who are part of that delegation or scheduled delegation. And yeah, it's hard to tell whether President Trump simply oblivious to the impacts of what he was saying. I mean, I know he canceled the trip out of spite, undoubtedly, given the State of the Union, a move that Speaker Pelosi made. Whether or not he fully thought through the national security implications of his move, hard to tell.
He is a president. If we cannot expect from a president that he thinks through the consequences of his actions before he takes them, he has no business being president.
I don't mean to imply that he should not fully understand the consequences. I'm only stating that anyone's guess as to whether he fully understood the consequences. Right. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. It's no excuse for his action. Yeah. And I agree with you completely. An individual who would not instinctively understand the consequences of such a move shouldn't be president. But he is the president, so nothing he does shocks me anymore.
And then the other questionable move that Trump might be expected to take to end this shutdown that some have said could also be impeachable because it might be unconstitutional is this idea that he could use the justification of a national emergency to fund his border wall and thereby end the shutdown. And that might mean reappropriating funds that Congress has already allocated to help disaster zones hit by hurricanes and wildfires from recovering. If he does go through with this, is this something that you're also going to be deeply concerned about?
Definitely. And President Trump has on several occasions over the past few weeks walked up to the line of declaring a national emergency and then took a couple steps back away from that line. Last week, at the end of, the end of last week, was waiting for that possibility. It's a concern. There would undoubtedly be a legal battle in courts if he were to do it. The legal battle would be whether or not there was a close enough fit between what he claims to be a national emergency and the statutes he points to that justify certain presidential actions in certain national emergency situations. So he could make the declaration, and then he would undoubtedly be sued immediately and have to defend his actions in court. I think he'd have a hard time doing that.
And then finally, Paul, Michael Cohen is set to testify in front of Congress in early February. There was some question whether he would or not, but then on Twitter on Friday, he did assert that he would be testifying. He retweeted somebody saying, David Korn, journalist, saying that Representative Elijah Cummings announced that Cohen will publicly testify February 7th, and there's much to ask him beyond the hush money payments. Cohen can also discuss Trump dealings in Russia and reaching out to Putin's office and so much more. Buckle up, said David Korn, and Michael Cohen retweeted that. These hearings are likely to be quite explosive, aren't they?
I'm going to be popping some popcorn. I think we should expect that a portion of these hearings will not be open to the public. And that's understandable given that some aspects of his testimony could relate to national security concerns, could relate to Mueller's ongoing investigation. But I have no doubt that the testimony will be interesting and there'll be some more bombshells in there.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Paul, for joining us today. Give out the website for Common Cause where people can look into some of the work that your organization has done on these issues that we've been talking about.
We're at www.commoncause.org. Been around for about almost 50 years. Nonpartisan, nonprofit watchdog organization holding power accountable.
Thank you so much, Paul, for joining us, and good luck to you.
Thank you for having me.
My guest has been Paul Seamus Ryan. He's a vice president of policy and litigation at Common Cause. We've been discussing several bombshell news reports about Trump and his former attorney, Michael Cohen. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.